All right, that's on my bucket list. That was a Christmas gathering. You know, in Australia, it's summer now. It's the height of summer. So they do barbecues on the Barbie, you know. They do cookouts and whatever. I did once have Christmas Eve in Palm Springs, and that was, I tell you what. At any rate, we come and we gather in this last Sunday of the Earth. Didn't Sandy do a great job with all those names? How many of you knew all those names? Not a single hand went up, Sandy, so you're good. And I told Sandy, I don't know that I've ever read that, had that scripture read for a worship service before. It's the Matthaean beginning. It's Matthew's beginning because it's the genealogy of Jesus. It's an important thing. You know, who and how and what have you, and genealogy, and that's becoming big again. But how many of you have had your genealogy done? Ancestry.com or 23.com, 23andMe or what have you? I did, and it was kind of fun, and I sent a gift package to my daughter, too. It's amazingly accurate, has picked up all the people that have taken the test that are family that I knew of. Listed siblings, it listed, extended family. It's intriguing because, you see, my biological dad and the father that raised me are different. The father that I grew up with, my dad Carl, was a wonderful saint. He is partly why I am in ministry, and I'm the luckiest guy in the world to have had him as my dad. My biological father, I didn't know anything about him, and so I did the genealogy thing and found his name and some of the details of family, and to my great disappointment, he was neither rich nor famous. That's all right, we'll let it go. I don't know any of the other members of that side of the family. I've not been in contact with him. I did find that I have a brigadier general who was an uncle in the Air Force, so you guys can salute me. I don't know if it passes down genealogically, but we can find that and what have you. Had an interesting thing happen. When you're online and you find these distant relatives, you can allow them to see your profile, and you can send messages to each other from your profile to their profile. And I emailed one of them. It's a gal I've never met. She's back east somewhere, about my age. I think she's maybe a cousin one rung up. I don't know what you call that, but it doesn't matter. Anyway, she had all of her kids. She has 12 kids, and all of their genealogy was there. So I'll tell you what, her side of the chart just fills up real quick. But anyway, she told me that she did her genealogy, and they got the results back, and her mom and her mom's side of the family, and her dad's side wasn't her biological dad. Turns out, and she had to do some research, turns out her biological dad was her mom's boss when her mom was at a tender age. Her mom and dad had both passed. She says, I can't ask them, you know, if they knew or if it was ever, she said it was never shared. I don't know if the dad that raised me knew. I don't know any of the details. And we don't know whether it was one of those cases where dad that bore the biological father forced himself on an employee, whether it was some other occasion, we don't know. And it doesn't matter now. It's kind of in the past here. And it's intriguing now to see Jesus' lineage as well. And to see that, you know, I'm a Heinz 57. He's kind of a Heinz 57 as well. Did you notice in that listing, David and Bathsheba? And the story, you remember the story of David and Bathsheba. 2 Samuel talks about, in the spring of the year when good kings go off to war, King David did not go off to war with the rest of his armies. And from the top of his battlements, he spotted Bathsheba, and he was taken by her. He had her come to his place. I don't think this was an affair. When the king summons you, you have to go. And he impregnated her. He finds out she's pregnant, and so he orders her husband, who is one of his generals, to come back from the battlefield. Come back and spend the night with your wife, so that they can blame the pregnancy on Uriah, the husband. Well, he refuses to have relationships with his wife because his troops are out in the field, and he thinks that would just be unwise. So David is in a quandary. He orders Uriah killed. Uriah dies, and David takes in the poor Bathsheba in her sorrow and marries her, and then he can claim that they conceived the child then. The child comes to term and is born, but it dies at several days old. David is sure he gets away with it, but we all know that God sees through that, and God speaks to him, condemns him. David does penance. So this is, I should continue. David and Bathsheba have three more boys. The firstborn is Solomon. We've heard of King Solomon, haven't we? But this is in Jesus' lineage now. This is part of his history. My goodness gracious sakes. If I was going to have a lineage, I'd want it to be a little more pristine than that. And if it wasn't, I certainly wouldn't print it and list it and have it right there in the Bible for everybody to read about. How about you? Would you want to sanitize it? When my dad married my mom, the guy that raised me, he adopted me, and they went to the judge. And the judge says, well, we'll make it look like you were the birth father from the very get-go. We'll take away the old birth certificate, and we'll make a brand new birth certificate, and it will show that you're really the birth father, so no one will know that he's actually adopted. So that's the way it was until I went to get a passport. And they said, how come your birth certificate was issued when you were 5 years old? Well, fortunately, I knew the rest of the story. And fortunately, I was in the same town. It's actually here in Jefferson County. The clerk's or the courthouse was nearby. I could go there and file the papers and get everything squared away because I ended up leading a mission trip, and I sort of needed a passport. But what is done in darkness will come to light. Isn't that passage there? And here is Jesus' lineage. Now, why would the pastor be talking about Matthew and Jesus' lineage and all of that? It's the last Sunday of the 2024. Where would we be going? But I read an article by Peter Wehrer, New York Times, New Year's Eve. And here's a line out of what Wehrer wrote. He said, Jesus' lineage includes murderers, adulterers, prostitutes, and people who committed incest, liars, schemers, and idolaters. The genealogy of Jesus is also a story of radical inclusion. Several of the women listed in the first chapter of Matthew are Gentiles. So here's Werner's article, and I'm reading this, and I'm thinking, this is kind of interesting. Where is he trying to go with this? But his point was a simple one. Jesus' family was like my family. There were in-laws and outlaws. There are all of those in here. It was a dysfunctional Heinz 57 blend of motley mixed bunch. It wasn't pure. And it did not define him. It did not define Jesus, and it does not define us. Dysfunctional families of origin, sure, they have impact in us, and they might have things that influence how we are and who we are. Some of it's wonderful and delightful. Nalu and Paya, your Tongan heritage is a blessing. It's a gift, and knowing that piece of that heritage is exciting. I found out that I have some heritage that's Irish, Welsh, that area. I don't know anything about Scotland, Ireland, anything like that. And I thought, well, I kind of wish I'd known that growing up. It would have inspired some interest. The only thing I knew was my father's name, Freitag. You all know what Freitag means. Okay, days of the week in German. Montag, Dunstag. Montag, Dunstag, Mittwoch, Donnerstag, Freitag. I'm Friday. Your man Friday, right here in the pulpit. Now you know a little bit of German, more than you probably needed to know. But there are Freitags in Germany that are the same, so how much family I have over there, I have no idea. But our heritage can be a gift to us. It can also be a potpourri of all kinds of strange and unusual things. It can be something that some families would like to hide, and yet none of it defines who we can be in Jesus Christ. That's important. What has been, and heritage does not define us. Now, in a minute here, we're going to try and sing a song that I have never sung in church before. Oh, Holy Night. Have you ever heard that song? Never done it in church before. You can kind of try and look it up in your hymnal. I was going to get there. It's not in the hymnal. It's not in the hymnal at all. It's hard to sing. We're going to try and do it to a bit. And I threw it at Mark. He's going to try and lead us in this. So have prayer for Mark. I threw out a difficult task to Sandy of the scripture, throwing out a difficult task to Mark, leading the closing hymn. We'll see how we get with it. But it turns out it has a history as well. You see, the lyricist is Placide Capo. He did the lyrics, the words, okay? And then the guy that later put it to music is Adolphe Charles Adam. I don't know anything about either of them much, except that the one who did the lyrics, it turns out he grew up in the church, and it was a parish priest who asked him to put together the poem that became the lyrics. But it turns out later in life that the guy that wrote the lyrics, Capo, he began to oppose the Roman Catholic Church. He began to be a strong opponent thereof and was called an atheist. And so the Roman Catholic Church said, you're going to write a hymn. Well, it's not going to be in our hymnal. No way. So there was kind of some bad blood going on there. But again, our past doesn't define us. Will it define us? Will this hymn work? I don't know. It's going to be an interesting experiment, Mark. I'm dying to see how well it's going to work. We'll make it go. We're a family. We make these things happen, don't we? But our past does not define us. There are other examples. Do you remember Jesus? They brought a woman caught in the act of adultery to him. Not accused, but caught in the act. And they wanted to stone her to death because that's what the law says. And Jesus says, okay, whichever one of you is pure and has never made a mistake, is without sin, you cast the first stone. And of course we know they all, one by one, they all left. And he turned to her and he says, woman, has no one condemned you? And she says, no one, sir. And he says, neither do I condemn you. Go on your way and sin no more. He doesn't condone what she has done, but her past has not defined her either. Is that what Paul was writing to the people in Colossae? I don't know all of the politics of what's going on. Here's this church, one of the churches that he's founded, and he's writing a letter back to them, and maybe there's some stuff going on, but listen to what he says. He says, bear with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. We tend to be a judgmental people. I don't know what it is about humanity, but we want to take charge. We want to be the judge and jury, we want to be the ones that decided, and we don't mind criticizing others. And the scripture that Paul wrote, he says, teach and admonish one another in wisdom. Yeah, we're more than happy to do that. We'll teach each other how to do it right, won't we? I got the right way, and I'll show you. You know, you get on board with my way of doing things, but he wants to push back. Because, you see, we have failed to be obedient to him. I will judge, says the Lord, not you. Judge not, lest ye be judged, the King James Version. Clothe yourselves with compassion, Paul said. Kindness and humility. Humility. It's a little word, but that's a big thing. How can we do that? And America, of all people, Americans, to be humble. My goodness, that's going to be a challenge. It is a big challenge for us, both nationally and individually. We go on. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. We've talked about patience. I've got lots of patience. As long as you give it to me right away. We know Paul. We know what kind of a person he was. He tended to be officious and judgmental, and he was a type A personality, and it was his way or the highway all the way around, and he was totally human. But he understood Jesus, and he is pushing back. It may be his own journey he's talking about. Humility, meekness, patience. So with Paul, we can forgive him his trespasses. We can forgive those who trespass against us. We just said that earlier today. We say it every Sunday. Sometimes we say it without meaning it, like I love you. But let us forgive those who trespass against us. And on this final Sunday of the year, it might be a very important and appropriate thing to do. Sometimes people write a list of things to give up. Give up judging. Give up grudges that you've carried. Give up those places where you hold trespasses against others. Turn to Jesus, this person with a checkered past like our own, who walked the perfect path. And let us aspire to perfection as we move on to perfection. Amen.